I'm turning now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, and to verse 10. Proverbs, chapter 18, to verse 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10, we read, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Let's pray. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace, we come before Thee, Lord, and pray that Thou would once again bless us with Thy presence, that Thy Holy Spirit may speak to our souls, that we may learn the truths of Thy salvation, that we may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that even for those who are saved, that we all may appreciate Thy goodness and mercy in saving us. So bless us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Savior, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Proverbs 18, verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." And our title is quite simple, "The Name That Saves." That is our title of this afternoon's message. Now, Proverbs is a book that paints pictures, brings together parables, short parables, pithy sayings and statements, brings together some poetry and all, and paints pictures for us as to how to handle the affairs of daily life. But if you and I believe that all the scriptures speak of Christ, and the Lord Himself speaking, saying that all that is written in the law of Moses, the Psalms, the prophets, all speak of Him, then obviously we can learn the way of salvation even from our text. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The verse gives us a picture and speaks of a practice in those times where walls are built around cities with watchtowers and watchmen who warn of coming danger to the people in the city. But usually also, a stronger tower is built perhaps at a strategic place in the city. And when the city is so besieged and to be taken, many women, children, helpless young people, or people who cannot even save themselves, they all run into that tower. And they shut the gate. And a clear example is found in Judges chapter 9, where we read of a man called Abimelech who wanted to take the city of Thebes and besieged it. And we are told in the verse 50 and 51 that he attacked that strong tower in the city, and whilst he was busy trying to pull down that strong tower, a woman let down a millstone that hit him and he died. And so Proverbs 18:10 takes us to, or gives us that picture of the practice in those times. It is a picture of a place, a safe place to which people flee. It is a picture then of you and I, of people in the world who must find a place. Security is now important in our world in which we live. Now the text also further alludes to the commandments that were given by the man Moses. Of course, the Lord God gave him those commands to the people of Israel, that they should set aside 6 cities of refuge. And these 6 cities of refuge, anyone who has committed any other crime whatsoever, if he's able to step foot into that city, then he is to be freed and must not come to judgment. And again, my dear friends, it is a picture then of running to a place when you have sinned or done some great evil and receive safety and shelter. Therefore, the text for us, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is safe, gives us these 2 sides, and it makes the whole application very clear. Now, what is the application for us? Now, we know that from this text, of course, Solomon, by inspiration, says that instead of a physical structure, of a strong tower, a wall, high up, very strong, it is rather the name of the Lord. He takes the practice that is done in those days, the commandments that have been given, and paints for us a picture of how people can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. And so it is so very clear for us. Indeed, in the New Testament, that picture is made even more clearer, isn't it? In Matthew chapter 1, when Christ was born, we are told the angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then in the passage we just read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the name of the Lord, this is further expressed. Some of the Psalms tell us so beautifully these things. In Psalm chapter 9, I read briefly, verse 9 and 10, it says this, it says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." And we could come to Psalm 18, verses 1 to 3. Similar sentiments are expressed. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. And so our text is clearly a gospel text. It speaks about being saved. It speaks about trusting in the name of the Lord. It speaks about having Jesus Christ and calling upon Him and receiving salvation from Him. Now we know, my dear friends, that even for those who do not believe in the Scriptures, because one of the things the world has done is to throw away the authority of the Scriptures. And in throwing away the authority of the Scriptures, what the world has done is that they have perceived and pursued their own aims and have brought about their own teachings and philosophies and policies of life. But even for those who do not believe in the Scriptures, nor believe in God, there is something in their heart. The Bible says He has set eternity in their hearts. They know that there is a coming judgment. They know that somehow the world is not a safe place to be in. They try as much as possible to keep peace and security and to get things to be done. But they know that the world is not what it should be. They try as much as possible to throw it away out of their mind, but somehow it lingers on, and they do know. And so there is a coming judgment, and the wrath of God is soon to descend upon a sinful world. And my dear friends, where would a sinner hide? Where would you hide? Where would you find a safe place to lodge your soul and your life? Oh, Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Our text actually shows us just basically four things which I'm going to quickly go through. Number one, the very first thing we see in our text is that God has revealed Himself as the God of salvation. God has revealed Himself as the God of salvation. The name of the Lord. How did that name come about? Of course, in our authorized version of the Bible, we see Lord in capitals. And we know it is talks about Yahweh. Or we may say Jehovah. So the name of Jehovah. And how did that name come about? Well, we are told that in the period of the life of Israel, when they were in bondage in Egypt, when Moses had fled to the Midianites and the Lord was calling him, Moses asked, "How? What would I tell them? Who sent me?" And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, the Lord replied, "I am that I am. I am that I am." A name of God that shows that He is the self-existent, ever-living, all-powerful God who hath come down to save His people. That was what He told Moses, isn't it? And then in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, we read these words also. When Moses came before the Lord, here are the words the Lord told him concerning His name. Exodus chapter 6 verse 3, He says, and beginning from verse 2, "And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty," that is El Shaddai, "but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." And so here is the name so revealed. And of course, from that day on, Moses came to understand that the name of the Lord Jehovah is a covenant name. It speaks of God who has made a covenant with Abraham and with His people. And it speaks of Him as one who have come down to deliver His people from bondage, from sin, from the oppression of the Egyptians. The name Jehovah was so revealed. And it was that which was given Moses. It was a name that reveals God's deity. He is divine. the Lord God Almighty. It is a name also, according to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. Believers gather, they worship, they call upon the name of the Lord. And so it was. Way back in the book of Genesis, then men began to call upon the name of the Lord, was revealed even then to the old world before the flood. And so the name is so revealing. The name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 34, and I read verse 5 to 7. Moses asked the Lord. The Lord opened his eyes to understand. Said, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, and unto the third and to the fourth generation. Hear the name of the Lord so revealed, that he is God who communicates with people. He shows them pardon. He shows them his goodness. He visits iniquity. He will not clear the one who is guilty. He will definitely bring to account anyone who has transgressed his holy commandments and all. And so this name was revealed to Moses. And so when we come back to the Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. God revealing himself through his name, showing us that he's a covenant-keeping God, ever faithful, ever gracious, ever merciful, coming to redeem men. And so it's just really encouraging to note that this name actually tells us more about God. So the name of the Lord, and of course I would also add a little point here. I'm sure some of us already know that the word Lord in capital letters in the AV actually should be the same word in the New Testament, only this time with a capital L. And so when you read the New Testament and it talks about whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, well, of course, it refers to this same covenant-keeping God. And that's why in the New Testament we are encouraged to call upon the name of the Lord. And we even pray in his name with his authority, with his sanction. Everyone who is a sinner, how can the person be saved? He comes calling upon the name of the Lord. That was what Ananias told Paul on the day Paul was blinded for many days. Till he said, arise and call upon the name of the Lord and wash away, that he may wash away all thy sins. So God has revealed himself. And my dear friends, the point I'm making, I may perhaps be laboring it, but the idea is this. You cannot know Christ. You cannot know God till he reveals himself to you. How can you call upon the name of one you've not heard? How can you call upon the name of a person or of God you've not known about? God reveals himself. And that is why he's done so through his name. And we learn such wonderful things. The second thing from our text is that God is on hand to save all who calls upon his name. And that comes out to us clearly from that phrase, the strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. In other words, as the physical structure is unchanging and strong and secure and stable, Sure is the name of the Lord. How can we understand that? Well, I'll just take you through some of these passages. I'm sure we all know before. The name of the Lord, Jehovah, when we trace it through all the scriptures, for instance, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 14, Jehovah Jireh, we are told, the Lord who provides, or in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What is it that shall be seen? A lamb given as a substitute. And so it is, my dear friends. God has provided one to die on the cross of Calvary for you and I, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are just singing the hymn. Behold, behold the Lamb. We proclaim Him, the Lamb of God. We are told by John, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord has provided a Lamb, one who must die for sinners. Then we come to Exodus 15:26, and it speaks of Jehovah, or the name of the Lord there, as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. The Lord who heals, of course. Well, some friends may think, well, it all has to do with physical diseases. Of course the Lord is able to. And Jesus Christ actually healed physical diseases. But the Lord who heals, the name came about because the nation of Israel sinned, they murmured, they cried out unto the Lord, we don't have water to drink, we are dying of thirst. And Moses was instructed to cut a tree and cast it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And the Lord said, well, if you obey me and all, I'll not bring upon you those diseases which I brought upon the Egyptians. For my name is, or I am the Lord who healeth thee. And of course, my dear friends, that applies to sin. Sin is a disease. It eats us all up. Some diseases actually begin very small and they take up the whole body. Some diseases actually take away our life even at the end. So does sin, and so is sin to us. And the Lord heals. In other words, He makes us, you know, sinful, full, we who are sin ridden, He makes us the people who receive healing in the soul. And we're just singing the hymn, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears. We are told, heals his sorrows and drives away his fears. One of my favorite stanza is, weak is the effort of my heart and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then, I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death. The name of Jesus Christ heals our soul's diseases. And so it is. And so the Lord has commanded. Then of course, when we come to Judges 6, the name of the Lord is revealed again to us there. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. He is the one who gives us peace. And the New Testament makes these things again very clear to us. Christ is our peace. How and why? Because we're enemies. We're fighting God. Sin makes us fight the Lord. And we struggle. And I've always be intrigued with a book written by Leon Morris. I'm sure some of you may know. It's a book about evolution and all, Christian response. But the title always says, The Long War Against God. And so it is. Man has a war against God. We are up in arms against God. We have no peace. And of course, because there is no peace between us and God. Our life is in shambles. The world is dying and dying slowly. Change and decay all around we see. But Christ came. He became our peace. He made peace between us and the Almighty God. And He made that peace when He died on the cross of Calvary and gave His self, gave His life for you and me. And what a beautiful term Paul uses. Says, I'm crucified with Jesus Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Anytime we read in the New Testament, He gave Himself. It's a beautiful way of putting it. Giving of Himself involves suffering, pain, excruciating pain on the cross. Such death no man could ever bear. And yet He bore it all. He gave Himself, friends, that you and I might have peace with Him. Jehovah Shalom, the name of the Lord. And what a revelation that is. I must hurry, my dear friends. Then there is Psalm 23 verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Ruhai, that is the name of the Lord. The shepherd who calls out His own sheep. The shepherd who leads His own sheep. The shepherd who feeds His own sheep. The shepherd who restores the souls of His own sheep. That is a beautiful picture. And again, in our world, my dear friends, we have no guidance. The whole world is suffering from leadership crisis in one way or the other. Many, many years ago, I read Warren Wesby's book, not because I agree with everything he says, our American friends, but I read his book titled The Integrity Crisis. And surely, my dear friends, even people in revered and respected offices often, there will be one scandal after the other. Oh, where can we find a perfect king, perfect prime minister, a perfect judge? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd. And so He brings souls to God, and He does so. In Jeremiah 23 verse 6 and 33 verse 16, we read again about another name of the Lord, which is Jehovah Chikeno, the Lord our righteousness. And why the Lord is our righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we are unrighteous. There is none righteous, no, not one, says Scripture. All our righteousness are like filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. We are wicked and corrupt and evil. Our morals, I will say, are all gone. It's become very, very worse in our days. We see it as it goes on and on. And so, my dear friends, well, where can we get perfect righteousness? While we speak about righteousness, we speak about a righteous God also, who is all holy. And how can one come into His presence? How can one call upon His name? We cannot come until we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So the Lord, the name of the Lord, Jehovah Chikeno, the Lord our righteousness. Well, let me hurry quickly. There is another one. Ezekiel 48 verse 35. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. And again, well, the Lord who is there. Well, in the vision of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel speaks of the glory of the Lord departing. And God in grace, the glory of the Lord coming back again. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. But it has a personal application. If I have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever I call upon his name. The Lord is there. Oh, we all remember Jonah, isn't it? When he was in the belly of the great fish, some say a big whale, whichever, he called upon the name, and the Lord was there. The Lord heard him, and the Lord saved him. And Jonah proclaimed, "Salvation is of the Lord," he says. Truly, my dear friend, yes, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. It doesn't matter wherever we are. We call upon his name in sincerity and in truth. He is there because his name reveals that to us, and we understand. The third thing in the text, again, which we've read, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Well, the third thought from this text is that God will always save all who come to him. And that is what we see in that phrase, the righteous runneth into it. It means the tower, the name, is always there. It's unmovable. It is stable. It is there. God is always on hand then. For all who run to him, he's always ready to save and willing to save. And that is what we see there. The word righteous, of course, often when it is used, it describes the character of those who have trusted the Lord. But of course, we also know that the word could also mean the one who does right. Righteousness. The one who does what is right. And the one who does what is right is a sinner. The sinner perceives his condition. He sees himself sinful. He sees himself far away from God, alienated, separated. He sees himself as not having the blessing of God upon his life. He sees his life as all broken. He sees himself afflicted in all kinds of trouble. He sees the way before him, which is a way leading to hell. And he runs. He runs. And what will God do? Reject that person? No. We are told, my dear friends, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in John, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He who cometh to me, you come to him, you run to him. Of course, the word run also has another meaning, isn't it? Run? Why won't you run? When the angel of the Lord came to Lot, he told him, "Flee! Escape to the mountain! Run!" Why? Because judgment was coming upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The cup was full, and God was coming in judgment. And the right thing to do was to flee, to run, to escape to the mountain. And so it is, my dear friends. We run. Why won't we run? Well, because we have enemies pursuing us. The world is digging hard to our heels, you know, to destroy us, to charm us, to take us away from the Lord. Surely, the enemy of our souls, we read in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So our enemies are after us. Death is also an enemy pursuing us. Hard at our heels. Sicknesses abound. So many of the things we can talk about. So run. We run. And when we run, the Lord has His arms open to receive all who will come to Him. He is a strong tower. You run to Him and you are safe. And the fourth thought then is that God saves all who call upon His name and blesses them. That is the fourth thought and final thought in the text, which says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The word safe, of course, we could take it in two senses. Safe. In other words, to be secure and perfect. That is what the word actually teaches us. And then we could say, in a way, to be safe from all fears. To be safe from death. To be safe from the wiles of the devil. To be safe from the charms of the world. Safe. There's an hymn that our children sing. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe on His gentle breast. So we run to Him. We are safe, protected, secured. The writer of the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," actually wrote the hymn from his own personal experience, isn't it? Though Satan may buffet and many other things, he said, there's one more thing: that his soul is secure. It is safe. Job said, even though worms eat this flesh, yet he says, I shall see the Lord. And so you see, safe, that is the idea. And safe, so we ought to find our safety. We ought to find in Christ. But the second sense of the word safe comes from the Hebrew word. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The Hebrew word means set aloft and lifted up. Safe, lifted up. What a beautiful thought it is, isn't it? You run to Christ. You call upon His name. You trust Him. You cry out to Him. You are safe in the sense lifted up. Oh, lifted up from the dust of the earth to view the glories of heaven. Lifted up as it is, or safe. Lifted up to be a citizen of heaven. You come to Jesus Christ, you call upon His name, you are no longer a citizen of the United Kingdom, nor of Ghana. The Bible says our citizenship is in heaven. So it is, lifted up, high up, lifted up also to be a child of God, eternally loved and blessed forever in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lifted up, yes. To be a child of God. And what a thought this is. Safe, lifted up. To have a name written in heaven. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The righteous runneth into it and is lifted up. A name is written in heaven. And so it is. Lifted up from earthly mindedness to heavenly mindedness. Lifted up to have an inheritance in heaven. And in Peter we are told, reserved in heaven for you and I. You have an inheritance. Lifted up. Lifted up to be among the saints of God. To be among God's people. To be among God's people. The saints, past, present and future. Lifted up. And what a glorious company that will be. Lifted up to have eternal and holy communion with the triune God. You come to Christ, you call upon His name, you trust Him, you are safe, in a sense, lifted up to have communion with the Blessed Trinity. God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, fellowship with Him, eternal fellowship with Him, and of course, lifted up to have an eternal glory, to be with Him forever and ever. And so, my dear friends, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Where would you find safety? Where? Where would you find joy? This world is a poor world. No joy. Where would you find eternal treasures? This world cannot give you. All the treasures of this world cannot satisfy. Where would you find peace? This world cannot give you peace. Christ says, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives." Dear friend, you are here without the Lord. You're here without Christ. You've not believed on Him. You've not trusted Him. Where are you going? Judgment is coming. Life is short and brief. And surely, surely soon the trumpet shall sound. And where would your soul be? The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Call upon the name of the Lord. How do you do it? You come forsaking everything. You come with understanding. You come believing. You come pleading. And you come asking for grace and asking for mercy from Him who is ever ready to receive. May the Lord bless your soul as you seek Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for the name of the Lord. How we thank Thee that we can call upon that name which is above every other name. A name which is given, a name by which we must be saved. So bless, O Lord, bless our hearts to seek Thee. Grant us no rest till we find rest only in Thee. Bless our souls in seeking Thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake we pray. Amen. Amen.